Hour number two, overtime, coming at you right here on Fan Run Radio. So they did a poll of more than two dozen players in regards to whether or not they would like to get paid to be on this game. Talking about EA Sports College Football 24, the release set for next year. Only one said that he wanted to be paid.
Really?
He would rather be paid, or he'd rather not be in the game because he's not getting paid, than to be in one of the most legendary video game series of all time.
So everyone said no but one person?
Everyone but no. Everyone but one person said no. All the other players said money would not be an issue. They just want to be in the game because that's a game they played growing up, and they want to be a part of that.
How many did they ask?
More than two dozen. So roughly 30.
Oh. Oh. I thought this was like a nationwide poll.
No. Which even if you did that, I'm sure it would be probably less than 5% that would have an issue.
Be honest, I probably wouldn't care. I wouldn't care either. I'd rather
you want to put me in a video game? Go ahead.
I'd love to play with myself on a video game.
Oh, Davis, hurry back! Oh my God.
Yeah. I can stop you on that one. But yeah. I don't know. Like, I guess I wasn't a big gamer. I wasn't a big gamer when NCAA 14 was out. I was more of a 2K guy. So, but if they made the college basketball game again, I mean,
I love that.
Oh, that was another good one.
Amazing.
Yeah, I really didn't care. I would just love to play as myself on the game. So yeah, I wouldn't care.
So educated, Davis. Just wish I could be like you, man.
Good, so
witty, just smart.
Let's go back to
there.
Let's go back to the phones, to the Big Orange Phillies hotline. Talk to David. What's up, David?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not a lot, man.
My question: I never was a big gamer myself. I just, for some reason, always stunk at video games. I grew up on Atari and Asteroids and things like that, and Centipede, and I just was never good. So I stuck with racing games and stuff like that.
Hey, but the old NASCAR Thunder games; those were great.
Oh yeah, dude. I used to love the it was the little four wheeler looking Jeep things, and you had the little turbo boost, and you could jump over about four of them at the same time, but then you usually crash in the wall or something.
Oh, those were fun.
So, those were great. But anyway, guys, real quick, the AP came out.
Uh-huh.
Pittsburgh got ranked at 17th. I'm pretty sure that's what I seen.
Yep.
So I want y'all to do some preseason spreads for me. What do you think the spread's going to be in the Tennessee-Pittsburgh game?
Tennessee's going to be a 2.5-point favorite in that game. They're basically going to give Pittsburgh 3 points because they are the home team, but I think you hammer that. I think Tennessee wins that one probably by two touchdowns. I'd take an alternate spread of 9.5.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
So y'all think Tennessee will actually have the advantage coming in by the spread on the Pittsburgh game?
Absolutely.
Do y'all know who Pittsburgh plays first? I don't.
They play West Virginia.
Yeah.
Backyard Brawl.
Backyard Brawl's coming back. That's right.
Oh, okay. Well, that might change.
Week one has a lot of really good games in it, actually.
It does.
I was pretty impressed with that. I looked at that today.
Okay, so then we're going to switch to the Florida game. I think we all could agree, Ball State and Akron. We can just kind of – we know what should happen there. So now we're at Florida.
Yep.
Florida's coming to Tennessee. What do you think the preseason spread is going to be, or the prediction spread on that will be?
See, that one's an interesting one because Florida's like number 37 in the AP poll, like when you factor in the others receiving votes. Utah is ranked number 7, and that's a week one game where Utah is only a 1.5-point favorite, which
– oh, wow.
Blew me away. I was surprised by that. But when Florida comes to town, they're already on a skeleton crew as it is. They have no depth. And if they have one injury, I think that Tennessee wins that game, and it's not even going to be close.
Yeah, I think this might be the first year that Tennessee actually might be a 7 to possibly 11 double-digit spread possibly this year over Florida.
I think so. And that would be no surprise. I mean, and it wouldn't surprise me if we go out and win 45-10.
the Utah game, and then they got Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
You know, they dropped those two games. Tennessee might come in there. You know, I don't think we're going to get much love because right now it don't seem like we're getting much love. You know, Hendon Hooker, they've got him at like the seventh best quarterback in the SEC. I mm-hmm. think that's a joke. I've seen some top 50 and top 100, and he's not even on them. You know, I mean, if you do a top 50 list, put Hendon Hooker at number 50. I mean, come on. You know, and it just seems like that Tennessee. So I think if I don't know, I'll be surprised if Tennessee is not an underdog in Pittsburgh, because I'm predicting it's going to be a 3-point favorite for Pittsburgh. That's what I'm predicting.
I can see
you're saying somewhere around 5 or 6, maybe giving Pitt 3 and giving Tennessee the 2.5.
Right.
I see what you're saying. So, but yeah, I was just kind of curious what y'all thought. You know, what you thought some of the spreads would be. Kind of coming into some of the early games, because it does seem like to me some of them are kind of like you said, that 1.5 Utah. I figured Utah would at least be 3,
yeah,
if not 5.
See, I was thinking more like 7 to 10 because you know they're the number right. 7 team in the country,
exactly. And it's just kind of weird. SEC, it seems like though. The spreads are kind of weird. I don't know. So y'all talk about it, but anyway, I appreciate it. Great show, guys. Appreciate
you, David. All right, let's get right back to it. Talk to the man himself on the Big Orange Phillies hotline. Phil is up next. What's up, Phil?
Blaze Lake, Jack Snake.
Phil, hey.
How you the boys doing?
Doing good.
Well, is Winchester already called in? I didn't hit here the first hour.
He yeah. beat you.
He called in. He called in yesterday, too, and I had to flush him after 5 words.
I heard that. I think it's a disgrace the way Winchester was treated on the drive today. They flushed him for no reason. Just trying to say how... You know, we underachieve at Tennessee. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Well, I mean, that's what we were talking about in the first hour with the basketball team. It's like, yeah, we got this 4-star guard, but the fact of the matter is, Phil, we can't make it out of the first weekend. We've only done it once since Rick Barnes has been here.
That's a good point, but Heupel couldn't even beat Perdue.
No, he couldn't.
He couldn't beat Lane Kiffin. I mean, Lane Kiffin outcoached him.
I think he outsmarted him more than anything with yeah. the fake injuries. I think that was probably the biggest thing.
I like outsmarted. With Ole Miss.
I think Dan Mullen outcoached him at halftime last year.
He did. Dan Mullen.
Exactly. Dan Mullen outcoached him. Showed him how real coaching is.
Well, like I've said before, Phil, I mean, the biggest thing that Tennessee's going to have to improve on with the football team this year, they're going to have to keep that momentum going into the second quarter because, you know, we would come out firing all cylinders in the first quarter. And then do absolutely nothing in the second quarter. That's got to change.
It's like the Kentucky game, that game could have been over with if Jalen Hyde hadn't stepped out of bounds.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
You got to have some kind of defense. Is our defense going to be any better?
100% better.
I do think our secondary is going to be better.
I think all around you're going to be pretty impressed with the defense this year. I think they're going to take a bigger step than you're going to expect. I think our depth is – I really do because – if everything that's coming out of camp is, if you want to take it with a grain of salt even, it just sounds like our linebackers are going to be actual linebackers this year. And I think our depth in the secondary is at a good enough pace that if our offense scores the same as what we think it will, then our defense is going to make that, they're going to be just good enough to be like top 60 defense, top 75 max. I really think they're going to take a step this year. If I'm wrong... I'll just
admit it then, right?
He'll just put it in his pipe
100%,
and smoke it.
100%, yeah, I got you. I'll just admit it, yeah.
I guess you've been hearing Wrestling Bear acting like we're going to be good, you know what?
No, I really like Heupel, man. I really like the culture he's built.
I like him too, but
he connects with these kids,
line,
man.
He got out-coached 3 games last year.
First year.
Should have beat Perdue, should have beat Pitt, and we should have beat Ole Miss.
Should have beat
Pitt. That's the bottom line, guys.
Well, I mean, bottom real. Line, Phil, we should have beat Florida.
I mean, we're going to rip Rick Barnes all you want to. I rip him too, but I mean, bottom line is there's a better chance Rick Barnes.
He should have won those games.
And Heupel wins 9 games. That's the bottom line.
I got you. But if he should have won those games last year. I 100% agree with that. He comes in here this year, though, and takes care of all those games. What do you say?
And that last caller, I hope he's right, but when are we going to beat Florida? I'll believe it when I see it. How about that?
And this time, Phil, I mean, here's the thing with Florida this year. They're already on a skeleton crew. If they have one injury in those first 3 games, Tennessee's going to win that game, and it might – it might end up being Tennessee 45, Florida 10. It might feel like 1990 and Johnny Majors is on the sideline.
We got some battered Vols, man. Westchester
I mean, Joe Biden says there's no inflation there.
Phil, I go by the Totino's Pizza Index on that. If Totino's Pizzas go above a dollar, things are bad. And right now, they're $1.75. We're in a world of hurt, brother.
I know. We have to get out and drink a beer before season starts, guys. Y'all can have some kind of a mold or something before season starts.
Funny you mention that, Phil. We're actually working on a little project. Might be on Saturdays.
Well, that'd be good.
Might be on Saturdays, and we might be at a place that serves good cold beer. I love a good cold beer.
It better be cold, because I'll be there. I got to meet you guys.
I like my beer boiling hot.
I mean, I've seen Wrestling Bear. I mean, I'll see something else. You know what I mean?
Nobody wants to look at them anymore. Oh, man. Thank you, Phil.
I'm telling you, man, Tennessee has done a number on some of our fans, dude.
I'm one of them.
Right? Westchester just tweets, right? He goes, so Kentucky beats Florida. Florida rebounds and hangs 50 on us, winning 56-35. Kentucky rides that minimum beats us. Where is this coming from? Why? There's just no reason to go down that dark of a hole. I just don't. I mean, like, hey, there's 10% of me that is constantly worried at this moment in time that we'll drop a couple games that I will lose my mind. Like, I will be insanely furious, boiling point mad, blackout drunk Saturday mad. Like, where second half rolls around, I wasn't a part of it mad. That's how I was when we lost to Michigan this year, Ohio State. Don't remember the second half. Hated the whole game. Anyway, dog, I think we get Florida perfectly at the beginning of the season. Pitt's not better than us. We're a better football team. I think with the leadership and the cohesion of the team, I think that alone puts us over Pitt, and that alone puts us far beyond heads and above heads than Florida. I mean, Florida, there's just, even from their coach, I mean, you don't see a lot of certainty in what they have.
No,
they
really, I mean, you've got people questioning his job status. He's not even coached a game
exactly.
yet.
Exactly. He's put out an open letter already. I think the chaos in that, I mean, they have to open with Utah and Kentucky. If we get them beat down, dude, already, look at how they got beat down last year. They had a good beginning of the season. They took a bad loss and just disappeared into the wilderness. I mean, I don't know if you can see that a team that's not this deep, that's had the same debt, that's having the debt problems that we've been dealing with, there's no way they can go a whole season. And by the time we get them, I think we'll be in a perfect position to carry momentum and whip them up. And then Kentucky, on the other hand, well, lose Kentucky.
Say what
he said last year. We ain't losing and we ain't going to. It's time to shed that sad skin.
Well, and the big thing is, like, everything I just told Phil was true. It's like when Florida comes down, if they have one injury, we might win the game 45-10. We very well might.
I want to have excitement for this season, man. I don't want to.
And the only thing that's going to suck is it's probably going to be the 12 o'clock noon game or the 8 o'clock game because Florida's not going to be any good.
Yeah.
Tennessee's probably going into the game 3-0.
It's fine.
But the thing is, like, that's supposed to be your 3:30 CBS game, and that game, that rivalry itself, has lost so much of its luster because of one team being bad or the other team being bad. The last time that both teams were competitive was 2016 and 2015. Other than that, we've been the crappy noon game or the crappy 8 o'clock game because nobody wants to watch that game anymore. I'm tired of it. Let's get some momentum going back.
I agree. You can't carry, I think, Pruitt and Butch into this season. You can't. If you want to feel good, I mean, you can. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to tell you what you can do. I mean, all of y'all are going to do it anyway. Most of you are. But back him, dude. I put a lot of faith in the hype and what he's going to do here. I mean, if recruiting doesn't show you enough, what the kids are buying into this guy. You want that. That's what you want in a head coach.
And this isn't like a Butch Jones situation where the guy can't coach him up.
No, it's not even. I don't even.
Because Butch Jones could get him here, he couldn't coach him up.
I don't even think he could get him here the way Heupel's getting him here, man.
He couldn't.
He couldn't get a quarterback. No. Heupel's first year in here, and he gets a quarterback. We haven't had a quarterback in years. And let's be honest, Dobbs wasn't really that expected to be that great. He overachieved here.
He lucked into the job that he had.
Yeah, and we have not recruited a quarterback, and that alone, five-star quarterback, number two in the nation, him getting that should just, I don't care, man. He's not Butch, and he's not Pruitt. Let's just admit that. He's neither of those guys.
The last five-star quarterback we had was Casey Clawson.
Dude, if we're mad about first-year losses, like first-year losses, I mean, some of these losses, like, you can really go deep and say these are first-year problems with the only reason why you lost these games. No one cares about Purdue but a select few. No one here I know cares about, dude. I don't care about the bowl game. Bowl games are lame. I didn't want to be there in the first place. I'd have been fine if we didn't even play.
But here's the thing. If you put me in, like, the Chick-fil-A Bowl or you put me the Capital One Bowl, yeah, I want to win that game.
Yeah, no. Music City Bowl is lame. I'm tired of that. That's not what I'm playing for. Until we get to somewhere that I've been playing for, then I'll take interest in it and really care. But that's a game where we had players sitting out, all sorts of stuff. Who cares?
Well,
it's lame.
Here's another example. We're sitting here talking about video games a few minutes ago. If you're in dynasty mode, you make it through the entire season, and your team gets slotted to play in the Liberty Bowl, the Music City Bowl, the Birmingham Bowl, are you going to play that game or are you going to sim it?
Probably sim it.
Exactly. What do you think these players want to do when they have to go to a crappy bowl game? They want to sim it. They don't want to play. They don't want to be there.
No
one their last game.
Wanted this job, dude. I don't care what you say. A lot of people turned us down. A lot of people.
Oh, you're talking about coaches?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. And Heupel took this job, and what he's built and what culture he's built in just a year is tremendous. We didn't have a winning culture here. No. We did not have discipline here. Multiple reasons why we lost multiple games we shouldn't have against Florida is because of discipline and pure secondary weakness, just not doing your job. That's coaching.
Yeah, that's all it was, is coaching.
And I'm
that's why
you,
we hadn't beat them since 2004, coaching.
Yeah, this has hurt. We have sucked for long. We have not been the Goliath we should have always been. We should never have fallen off. But give the man a chance. You can't just sit there and hate the whole time he's here to build.
No,
because if you just sit there and just doubt and doubt and doubt, don't help nobody. I try not to, like, just be so anti. Like, I have doubts. Don't get me wrong. Like,
well, everybody has doubts, but
I have a feeling
is
that we could, you know, go 5-0 and then fall to South Carolina or some BS. That's in the back of my mind because it has happened.
Yeah, we've seen it.
But I'm not about to sit here and say I'm about to just worry about that the whole year.
No, we're not going to.
I'm going week one.
I'm not worried about South Carolina.
Massacre Ball State. And then I'm going to massacre Pitt. And then I'll focus on Akron. And then I'm going to focus on beating Florida black and blue.
Yeah, I mean, the games that I'm worried about, I want to beat Pitt. I want to beat Florida. I want to beat LSU. I know that we're going to lose to Alabama and Georgia. Everybody knows that.
I don't even care, dude. We're going to play them well, though.
We're going to play them well. Other games, I mean, really? You're worried about Mizzou?
What more do you want from this dude? It's
South Carolina?
Year.
Vanderbilt?
He's about to coach his second year here. Give him just, he's fine.
Sure as hell not worried about Kentucky.
Hell nah.
Stay with us. John Dunn of the All Vol Collin Show coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Back here on Overtime. Pleased to welcome in John Dunn of the All Vol Collin Show. What's up, buddy?
Guys, just coaching a little bit of football practice. How are you boys doing today?
Pretty good, man. Thank you so much for having us on your show last Friday. I had a lot of fun doing that. Even though I was sick and couldn't carry a sentence without coughing. Yeah, I had fun.
Listen, man, I've been telling you for the entire time I've known you got the best voice in the business, whether you're sick or healthy, man. It sounded great. You guys were a lot of fun to have on. A little disappointed in the dad swag rankings there, but you know, I'll take. I'm gonna go ahead and give myself first place on that one, giving Josh Heupel the number one spot in the dad swag rankings there.
Who did I give number one to? Mike Leach.
I think it was. Yeah, you gave it to Mike Leach. It was Mike Leach, and then Stack gave it to Kiffin. I think so. Davis.
Yeah.
If we got Davis, right?
Yeah, sure. We got him.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Davis, I want to hear your what coach in the SEC has the most dad swag to you.
That's a tough one. Are we just talking about, like, the typical dad that wears, like, New Balances and cuts the lawn and stuff like that?
Well, your definition, I guess, of what, like, you would assume dad swag is.
Honestly, I'd probably say Mark Stoops is probably the first one that looks like is dad swag to me, even though he's the rival. And then probably he's like the most, like the typical dad. And then the cool dad would probably be Kiffin.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think we all had Stoops and Kiffin in our rankings at some point or another. But definitely, I think we all kind of agreed that Stoops was more like a yacht dad, you know, pounding beers on the back of the pontoon there. And Kiffin,
I'd
you know, the
Stoops,
young dad.
Dude. Make fun of him the whole time while he's grilling.
That would be amazing, dude. Listen, if it comes down to grilling dads, I might have to put Pittman at number one. Honestly, I mean, that dude looks like he can flat lay it out on the grill, man.
Oh, you know he can.
His barbecue ribs, I
bet his ribs. If I lived with him for a week, I bet he'd put 50 pounds on me, man.
Oh, without a doubt.
Mm.
But John, one of the things we've been talking about today, man, is our favorite video game. We're less than a year away, and they have announced that Road to Glory and Dynasty Mode are coming back, as well as, you remember in NCAA 06, you had, like, the fake magazine covers. Those are coming back.
Listen, so here at practice, one of my friends is a coach with me, Jeremy Hinkle, coaches with me here, and we were just talking about this a few moments ago about the new NCAA. I was actually talking about the new Madden, which looks absolutely just unreal. I saw some preview play of it, and there was a game where three guys were on the same team. One was playing, like, running back, one was quarterback, one was wide out. And then you had three guys on defense, like, all three playing linebacker, maybe one DB or whatever. I thought that was insane. I'm excited to death about that for Madden. But in terms of NCAA, man, honestly, I'm trying my hardest not to think about it because it just seems like it's so far away. It has been since 2013. I still load up NCAA 2014. I've claimed, like, I don't know, 40 national championships with Tennessee on there.
Oh, Jake Miller undefeated. 295-0.
Listen, we're going to set that up for sure, man. We are 100%. Like, we'll get this tailgate together. I'll bring a TV. I'll bring it. Are you a play? You're a PlayStation guy, aren't you?
I got them both.
Yeah, we're Xbox boys, ain't we, John?
I got PC. Xbox. I've got the Xbox. I got whatever you need.
Mm. Well, you know, some of us aren't that privileged, Mr. Miller. So, no, man, playing on that. We'll figure it out regardless. But just let you know, man, I'm defensive heavy on when it comes to the NCAA games and the Madden games. I'll lock it down on defense. So, but listen, what? Favorite video game. This is going to come out left field right here. My favorite video game of all time, Assassin's Creed. I'm a huge, huge Assassin's Creed fan. Like, I got the tattoo. You know, I'm like, I'm all in on some Assassin's Creed. By far the best game series ever.
Really?
Oh, yeah, man. I absolutely love it. There's actually, like, outside of the obvious glaring, hey, this is a video game stuff, you've got some real life, like, history in there.
Yeah, dude, Brotherhood was so entertaining.
Dude, Brotherhood was great. Revelations is my favorite. Mm. I mean, I played and beat every one of them probably 100 times each. But, you know, it kind of led me into reading up on the formation of the actual, you know, the Assassins group in Turkey there back in the early, I believe it was 1400s. So, I mean, it's a pretty interesting history. You find out guys like Hasan Isabah, which is the founder of the whole thing. I mean, it's just nuts, man.
Yeah, I was a history major, dude. That's why I love it. That's another reason why I love this game so much, man. It was cool because then I'd be taking a class and just playing this game and be like, oh my gosh, it does fall in line. It's crazy.
Yeah, you start learning about like ancient Rome or something. You're like, yeah, hey, I jumped off top of the Colosseum. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. Dude.
So, do y'all play any of the NHL games?
Yes, so, dude,
I've just got off. I actually downloaded one for the Xbox. Because it was free with, like, EA Play or whatever.
The best, dude.
I love them.
Listen, I'm all football, basketball, all the way. You know, those are the sports that I follow the most, that I cover the most, et cetera. But the best sports games I've ever played on console, period, are the NHL games, man. They really got me into hockey. Just the mechanics of the game, the teamwork that it actually takes. I like to do 3v3 drop-ins on chill and everything, and I mean, it's a lot of fun, man. It's you get the big hits. You got to know. It teaches you a little bit about hockey. I didn't know the first thing about it until I started playing NHL. I think it was 16 or 15. Really learned a lot about it, man. The Preds were really good around that time too, so I kind of ushered myself in as an honorary Preds fan there while they were on their hot streak and such, man. But yeah, those are the best sports games in my opinion. But I'm really, really excited to see what they do with the NCAA game.
So one of the things that I was thinking about last night was how 2K used to be partnered up with ESPN, and they had that series of games for, I think, 4 or 5 years. And they were only $20, like, for the PlayStation 2. They were only $20 brand new, and I was like, okay, well, this is the more affordable version of, you know, college football or professional basketball or football game. But they were better.
Yeah. A lot of people say that, and, you know, I always go back to, I think it was 2K5, maybe? That had T.O. on the
T.O. on the cover.
And
yeah,
you had your crib that you got to deck out and everything. Exactly. Oh, man.
Yeah, it was sick.
My favorite part of that whole thing is you could go first person as, like, the wide receiver. It was incredible. Just like, trying to look back over your shoulder and
catch
the ball.
In the face mask, dude. Oh, my
incredible.
Gosh,
it was so cool. Nuts, man. But, I mean, you never know. I assume that this means they're going to make the NCAA basketball games again, too, right?
I would hope so, because that's another thing. We got the last version of the 2K college game was 2K8.
Wasn't it the Blake Griffins?
No, that was College Basketball 10. Because they switched it from the March Madness name to College Basketball, and Blake was on the last cover of that.
Him and his brother.
Was Greg Oden on the cover of one of those? I feel like he was.
Greg Oden was on 2K8, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, right on. Man, what a career that guy could have had. Lord have mercy. Think about that one all the time. But, yeah, the 2K games, a lot of people like those better, but I guess I'm just partial to Madden, just where it's – I mean, I play it nightly still. You know, I run through people with the Titans. I think I average 328 rush yards a game with D. Henry right now. So, my defense is shut down, man. Kevin Byard just goes hard in the secondary back there. And I love that team. I really, really wish, and I'm not trying to throw any shade, especially at my team, but I really wish – on Madden, at least, I had a different quarterback than Tannehill sometimes. That one gets me a little bit time to time. But yeah, man, in terms of sports games, NHL is where it's at. In terms of favorite game ever, Assassin's Creed all day.
Good stuff. And another game that Stack and I brought up. Do you remember 989 Sports?
Oh, my God. They made, like, SSX Tricky. I think they had a hand in that.
It blew my mind this afternoon when he brought that those numbers up.
Oh, my God. I remember it was like 989 Studios. As soon as it would start up, dude, gosh, man, that takes me back. Lord have mercy, man.
Were they the ones that made, like, MLB Slugfest and all that?
I think they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they were, yeah.
Those games were awesome.
They were sweet, man. I just home run derbies, just constantly home runs like left and right. 70 home runs in a home run derby, just crushing them. Those are pretty solid. I mean, the show isn't bad. I'm glad that they brought that back. But the show really wasn't. I was pleasantly surprised. I really liked the pitching on the show 22 specifically.
Yeah, that's a game I play just about every day.
That's a good one.
It made me mad at the Cubs. I'm not going to lie. That video game made me mad at my own team. And I ended up starting a new
fan too. So
aren't all Cubs fans just always mad at the Cubs?
Yes.
That was just like, just like inherent.
Get rid of the entire team the past couple of years. It's great. It's a great time right now to fly the W. So
yeah, it's like we got Nico Horner and Jason Hayward. That's about it.
That's it. That is it. But yeah, man. So I haven't got y'all's thoughts yet on the AP poll. I've been wanting to talk to y'all about that too. It came out after y'all were on my show last week. So. How y'all feel? Tennessee sitting in 26th. What do y'all think about that?
I mean, I'm not surprised. Am I disappointed? Maybe a little bit. But when I start looking at some of those teams that are ranked above Tennessee and some of their week one matchups, you know, Utah is ranked number 7 in the nation. Mm-hmm. Florida, roughly 37th. Yep. And Utah is only a 1.5-point favorite going into that game.
Yeah. Agreed.
They moved 2.5, actually.
Oh, they moved 2.5?
If it was in Utah, I think Utah would be favored by maybe 2 possessions, possibly. Maybe 10 points.
Man. I didn't like being put 26. I thought – I don't like the Kentucky, the Wake.
Yeah.
I don't really like that USC and Oregon really up in 11th and 14th. Yeah, NC State at 13 is kind of just dramatic.
They're somewhere around the 15 range. I feel like there's a few that are placed pretty well. You know, obviously the Alabamas, Ohio State, et cetera, Georgia, Clemson. I think Clemson might be a little high. Arkansas, a little low.
That's like the most dramatic one I see. I don't see the hype for Clemson and where that came from. Considering the year they had last year, is DJ supposed to be that much better?
Well, I personally, I've got them win the ACC myself, which I know a lot of people got Miami or whomever it may be, NC State. But in terms of last year, I think that is their down year. You know how, you know, you'll get a team that's real hot and then they go on a down year and then they bounce back and they're just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we've heard Nick Saban say last year was Alabama's down year. You know, I don't think it's far-fetched to say that last year was just an outlier.
That's why I'm kind of scared of Alabama right now, dude.
Yeah, I'm worried about that too, man. But last season for Clemson could have been a little bit of an outlier. I do think they make a bounce back this year. I think he is going to improve. I think the experience, you know, you guys have heard me harp on that on this show, on mine. Experience is pivotal. And, I mean, he got plenty of it last year. He got a big wake-up call. You know, everybody's been blowing smoke up his butt for a long time, you know, and then he comes out there and kind of doesn't perform up to standard, and now he's got a reality check, is what we call it.
That is
true. And I think that's really going to wake them up a little bit, because they've definitely got the talent there. But I digress. There are a few teams that I feel like were a little low. Arkansas, a few teams I feel like were a little high. Wake, NC State, just a little bit there. Kentucky, I feel like was a little high. Ole Miss, I feel like was a little high, especially for what they lost. You know, but you look into the top 25, there are probably five or six teams there that Tennessee doesn't just beat, they dismantle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where these rankings kind of, you know, you take them with a grain of salt. It's a good foundation to base the preseason stuff off of before there's really anything to talk about. Because I know you guys are running the same problem I am. It's so close to the season. We've talked about everything we can talk. Now we're ready for the games to start. But, I mean, this is just another one of those talking points. I mean, it's like the coaches' poll. That's why there's so many different ones. So you can just talk about it for, you know, ad nauseum until the season starts. But as far as Tennessee's ranking, like we said, there's a few teams on that list that I think they would just absolutely tear through. You know, and I would say the same for teams like Texas, Iowa, Penn State. They were right behind Tennessee right there. But I do think there is something to be said for the teams that Tennessee was ranked in front of. And for, you know, they did receive, I think it was 180 votes to be in the top 25, which is a pretty substantial portion. I don't think they were outside the top 25 by more than 5-6 votes. So they're right there, and I think people, you know, the people that vote on that, the AP, have noticed that. And I think a lot of people around the country are going to start to notice that too. But realistically, you've got, you know, Pittsburgh sitting there at 17th. That could be a huge matchup. They're coming, you know, week two off of a game against West Virginia. They win that game, potentially move up in the rankings. Tennessee goes on the road, gets a win at Pittsburgh against a, let's say, 15th-ranked Pittsburgh team. That looks pretty darn good. You know, you've got Ball State in week one. We'll say that's a win. We know anything's possible. But week three, Akron, you know, you're 3-0 with a win against a ranked team on the road. That looks pretty good, you know, especially with Florida coming to town. So, you know, that Pittsburgh game is going to be pivotal. But I do think there is something to be said for the team surrounding Tennessee on either side. Obviously, the top 25 just above them. And then you've got teams, Texas, I think, is right behind Tennessee, and then Iowa and Penn State right there, too. So, I mean, there is something to be said for where they are, but I do think that they do belong in the top 25.
John, so, you know, I don't really know if this is a question, but you see how we're right outside the top 25, just like Ole Miss was last year, and they get that first win over their opener was Louisville, but our second game of the year is against Pitt. So two ACC teams where you kind of blow the doors open on them, and then you get into that top 25 ranking and then just steadily climb and climb and climb all year. But I've just been hearing a lot of comparisons to our second year being like Ole Miss's second year last year, where they're trying to compare us like Greg McElroy did. And I don't know. I see games like us going to LSU is like Ole Miss coming to us last year, you know. First year head coaches, both historic programs trying to find their footing. So I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I don't know if it's such a bad thing, but I do see this year kind of maybe becoming the same trajectory as Ole Miss did last year, maybe a 10-2 season and possibly a New Year's Six Bowl.
You know, that is a very articulate and well thought out comparison. I'd never actually drawn the comparison between last year's Ole Miss with this year's Tennessee. And, I mean, the LSU game with Tennessee this year and the Tennessee-Ole Miss game last year is a beautiful comparison. I think that is nail on the head, like, perfect. But, you know, you're right. With Tennessee's schedule, especially the way it's laid out, you know, you start, like I just, you know, mentioned a few moments ago, with that Week 2 opponent ranked on the road, likely. A big win there. You get a big win at Florida. You know, you just start steadily climbing. I think Tennessee could potentially climb even after the first week. We could see some movement there. There's some big games in week one. Not everybody's playing a Ball State. You know, I just talked about Pittsburgh playing West Virginia. They could very well lose that game, fall out of the top 25. If they get blown out, they're well outside the top 25. They'll fall into the 40s. West Virginia may move up. You know, that may free somebody up like Tennessee, Texas, Iowa, Penn State, whomever to move up. If Tennessee beats Ball State 63-0, that shows, you know, some continuity from last season, especially offensively. If you shut out any opponent, I don't care who it is, if it's, you know, if the team I'm coaching right now, if my fifth and sixth grade team went up there and you know, we're held to 0 points, that's impressive regardless. Because these guys are, you know, I mean, these guys are big. Ball State is Ball State. Yeah, they're a MAC team, but they're still collegiate athletes.
Yeah.
You know, and so if Tennessee can go and make a big statement and be like, hey, yeah, we're not coming out lackadaisical, Butch Jones, UMass-style Tennessee game. We're coming out. We're gonna put the pedal to the metal, and we're gonna put our boot on somebody's throat. And we're not gonna. I don't care who it is. If it's MAC team, if it's CUSA, if it's Alabama, we're gonna go full speed, full throttle, 100% of the time. I think that'll wake some people up. But some of these big week one matchups really kind of free up a lot of space in the top 25. I'd say there's probably gonna be some movement there from about 4 or 5 spots.
That's how I felt about it. I think especially after week one, you'll probably see us ranked in the top 25. That's my thought on it. That's why I didn't really care too much about being 26. I mean, like, out of all these 25, you could argue that at least 4 or 5 of them will probably lose week one, you know, or play not such a so-so game to where they just don't look as what they thought they were supposed to look like.
Yeah,
right. You see us jump, especially Ball State, if we even win 45-7 per se. I think that's good enough to put you, depending on how you, you know, like substitute players in and out, but that's a good enough buffer to show that we're still where we were last year and that
right.
We've grown, especially if our defense holds them to 7 or 3 or something like that. Like, I could see us immediately jumping in the top 25.
Well, and here's a question for everybody. What is the one team that you see on this list within the top 15 that you do not have any faith in whatsoever? Mine is Oklahoma at number 9. I'm going to go as far as saying they might not finish the year in the top 25.
I could see that. Run over the top 15 for me real quick. I got it in front of me.
Yeah, so obviously number 1, Alabama, number 2, Ohio State, 3, Georgia, 4, Clemson, 5, Notre Dame, 6, Texas A&M. That's another interesting one considering they went 8-4 last year. Utah at 7, Michigan at 8, Oklahoma at 9, Baylor 10, Oregon 11, Oklahoma State 12, North Carolina State 13, USC 14, and Michigan State at 15.
Honestly, Oregon is probably going to be mine. I mean, I realize that the conference is in shambles right now,
right?
But I think that's USC's conference this season. Oregon, they're, I feel like they're a little bit over. I don't think it's too much, though. I think you they're at what, 11th right now?
Yes.
Yeah, Oregon is 11th.
I would probably have them around 18 or 19. It's just that much of a difference. But you know, Miller, you might not be wrong on Oklahoma. That's another one I'm watching really close. And I'm very, very, very interested in Notre Dame and A&M. I want to see what Notre Dame is now, you know, this season in a rebuilding year. I guess you could call it a rebuilding year. And then A&M, you know, like you said, 8-4 last season. Yes, the big win and everything. But I guess they're kind of giving them a lot of hype based off that recruiting class. I think it was the greatest recruiting class that ever was recruited. I think that has a lot to do with their ranking. But those four teams right there, Notre Dame, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, and Oregon. Those are going to be the four I watch in the top 15 for a little while just to see if the hype is warranted or not. But those are the ones that I feel like may have some slips.
Davis?
Yeah, John read my mind. I was going to say Oregon. I mentioned Oregon yesterday, how I think that 11 ranking is a little fraudulent considering they lost their head coach and they have a first-year head coach who has no head coaching experience and Dan Lanning, and they lost some of their roster, and I think they'll get a little reality check opening night against Georgia in the Mercedes-Benz Dome.
That's a big one right there, and I think, you know, like you said, a reality check, that's going to be a smack in the mouth. I don't think many people have Oregon winning that game, realistically.
Oregon's been, like, their first opening games, man, recently have been insane. I mean, last year they played Ohio State, took care of us, and then I mean, this year opening up with Georgia, I mean, they're not scared to play anybody, I guess.
That's ballsy.
That first game, that ruins your whole season almost, you know, if it turns around and bites you, and which the Georgia one probably will. But kudos to Oregon for walking around big and tall, dude. I mean, that's respect.
No joke.
But for me, I don't know. I'd probably – Dude, I have Baylor winning the Big 12. So yeah, I'm with you on Oklahoma, Jake. But I'd go ahead and say even Oklahoma State is ranked too high for 12. I think really it's probably going to be Oklahoma State's probably going to drop two or three. I think
Baylor and Oklahoma State are both going to be – I think they're going to be better than advertised myself.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma and Texas are both going to finish second or third and fourth maybe, you know, in the Big 12. But I could also see – I don't know. I don't think Texas is going to do anything. But I think Oklahoma State is a little bit too high at 12. I'd probably drop them down to like 20th or something. I think Baylor's set at 10, and they're probably going to win that Big 12. They looked good last year.
They did. John, one more thing we'll let you run. You mentioned Texas A&M. Out of this recruiting class that they just signed, how many of these guys actually make it the 3 and 4 years at Texas A&M before they transfer out?
Well, see, this is where I think NIL is going to play a pretty important role. There's a lot of money in Texas. Old money, old money. Inherited money. I mean, there's all kinds of money. And
because they don't have a championship in recent memory, so their mindset is, we're just going to buy one.
Yeah, absolutely. And in today's times, that's something that's actually achievable, to be honest with you. I feel like, honestly, if they can keep throwing money at them, they'll stay there as long as they can. You know, unless a loftier NFL contract. I'd say your top players from your team will be more likely, obviously, to leave for the NFL, but as far as transfers go, it's going to be hard for anybody to replicate the money and the exposure that Texas A&M can provide. You know, let's say somebody wanted to transfer from Texas A&M to Northern Illinois or North Texas or somewhere. You're not going to quite get that same exposure or that money. You know, you're going from the SEC and a big name brand school, a school that just defeated Alabama last season. Just had this massive recruiting class that you're a part of, making history. It's going to be, honestly, I think it's going to take a lot to get those guys away to transfer out, because, honestly, they could really be the team in the West the next couple of years. And it's like I've stated a couple times now, even with you all, if Nick Saban wins the national championship this year, I'd say he hangs them up. I'd say he goes out on top, and that pretty much opens the door for Jimbo Fisher, in my opinion.
Good stuff. John, tell us where to find you.
Guys, as always, you can check us out, allvolcallinshow.com. Working on the website still. Like I said, I'm not a very tech-savvy individual doing all that on my own. So if somebody out there hears this and wants to help me out, reach out. I'd love that. But still working on that a little bit, trying to get the live video player on there so you don't have to come over to Facebook to watch us. But you can find us on Facebook. Search up All Vol Call-In Show. Super easy to find. And you can find us on Twitter at JXHNDUNN all together. Guys, I really appreciate y'all having me. Can't wait to have you back on the show.
Good stuff, John. We'll talk again soon.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good afternoon, boys.
See you, brother.
See ya.
John Dunn making his presence felt. Stay with us. Final segment of Overtime coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment of Overtime. It's my jam.
Dude, this is actually a pretty good choice putting this on here, because
as long as we just don't put the words in it, we're good.
It just gets me pumped up, actually. I'm not going to lie.
Exactly. So Tennessee's third opponent of the year, Akron, their old stadium has a little bit of weirdness to it right now.
Okay. Tell me more.
So it opened.
They don't play in this anymore, right?
No, they do not play in this. Okay. They haven't played there since 2008.
All right, hit me.
So, it opened up in 1940, and Akron used it until 2008. Traditional bowl-shaped, it seated about, I think, 35,000 people, right? And the original plan, after they left, was for a USFL team to come in and buy it. That fell through, obviously. So, in 2017, they condemned the stadium. And the demolition began in 2018. However, they cannot demolish a big chunk of the stadium, because if they tear that stadium down, the freeway that runs alongside it will collapse.
Yeah, dude, I watched a whole YouTube video on this the other night. I was a little bit of a YouTube rabbit hole about the Rubber Bowl.
Yeah. The Rubber Bowl.
That's crazy, dude. That's insane. So, like,
so it's
how
just
how and
it's
why?
There.
Who's I? What did, was the stadium? The stadium was built first before the freeway, I guess. Right?
Yeah.
Who designed this freeway and was like, yeah, dude, this standing structure can hold this?
Well, I guess they thought it was going to be like Neyland and it was never going to be tore down. I mean, that's the thing with Neyland. You couldn't tear that thing down if you wanted to just because of what all's around it.
Well, that and the whole world would go crazy, but...
It's like built into the side of the ground, so it's like it's hard to take down.
Yeah, so like if they tear down the stadium, like...
And about Neyland?
No.
Oh.
No, the Rubber Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll send you a picture, Stackhouse.
So, like, it's in disrepair. The, oh, man. Like, the artificial turf that they had on the field, it's still there.
They'll probably have to eventually just find a way to tear this down and, like, pause traffic on the freeway for a while.
Dude, I think it'll be like a lot of those buildings in Detroit where they just sit there and let it rot.
That just sounds even more dangerous.
Oh, it is. I mean,
like the stadium rotting and then cars driving over it as it's rotting.
Oh, dude. I mean, the thing is, it's in a dilapidated state just from
damage
caused by weathering
wild.
And vandalism. Yeah. That's what it is.
It's a pretty cool built stadium. It is built just right into the ground, huh?
I mean, it's a cool stadium.
I kind of like that, though. Like, I can't remember what it was. I think it might have been. I know Centennial in Nashville, they have like half of theirs is on a hill or something like that. But I think it's Hunter's Lane. Their field is like in a bowl. And
yeah.
That was so cool to me. I thought the idea of like walking to the top of the stadium and then walking in, that's so cool to me. That just feels like a bowl, you know, like I'm coming into.
Right.
That's just like the dope feeling. That's why I like the Clemson run-in. Because like you're running down.
You're running down the hill.
Running down the hill to battle because it's like – you know, what is it, gladiator battles and wars, like Spartan Wars, you know, they'd be up on the safeties up on the hills and they fight in the middle and then they
Well, you mentioned that, you know, Stokely Athletic Center, you actually had to go down into it because, like, you know, you go to Thompson Bowling now,
mm-hmm.
It's a freestanding building.
Yeah.
Now, at Stokely, you actually had to go down into the ground.
That's cool, though.
And that might have been why that place was so loud because, I mean, people are like, Thompson Bowling's cool, but there was nothing like Stokely.
It's like cups, like when you put your phone into like a styrofoam cup or a red solo cup and play music and it echoes. I think that's just cool to me. I don't know. The aesthetic of walking down into my seat, I think, is just cool.
Right. Sound's not going out, it's going up.
Yeah. Just bouncing off and just reciprocating out, yeah. Huh. That stadium looks pretty cool, though. It's really built weirdly, almost just kind of like how, like, it just looks like a high school field, to be honest, but it is cool. Like,
Davis, do you have a list of the abandoned stadiums by any chance?
That's got to be so many.
I might make that your project.
I can look it up for you real quick.
Oh, no, that's going to be your project for tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
So do that. Another project that I have for you guys is I want all of us to watch the new Manti Te'o documentary that just got released on Netflix.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Watch that tonight.
Yeah, we're basically going to do a movie report tomorrow.
I like that.
Break it down that way. If you don't want to watch it, you don't have to. I'm just going to tell you about it.
Yeah, so just so you know, there will be spoilers tomorrow.
Yes,
also.
I finessed Manti Te'o.
I thought he was a cute dude.
Pause. That's going to do it for us. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'll be here.
Something else coming up next right here on WKGN. Thank you, Davis.
Thank you.
Thank you, Josh.
You're welcome.
Tune in tomorrow, 7 o'clock in the morning, for 3 and Out, right here on Fan Run Radio.